chicken unicorns. You may have heard me say once or twice that, you know, the way you do one thing is the way you do all things. In entrepreneurship, there is no separation of church and state. You are your business. And the way you think and feel about yourself, it will directly impact your ability to make money, be successful, be fulfilled, have all the motherfucking things. So today, I've got a lineup for you that's going to help you to unleash your true self by doing something fucking terrible.
Take off your pants! Unleash your true self. Real unicorns don't wear pants.
Well, now that you're 10 episodes deep with me, is this what you thought it was going to be? Is this how you thought this was going to fucking go? You know, I kind of sit here with these episodes and I'm like, how much should I tell them? How bad can this get? And then I realize, like, I'm only 10 episodes in. You guys, there's so much more shit to talk about. And, you know, I told you in the intro, right? Like, I've had a very colorful life. I've had a very, like, rainbowed out life. I've had a lot of life experience for my short 36 years. I've done some fucking shit. And I know that a lot of you guys fucking have too. I know a lot of you guys have been through some shit too. And it's so important for you to recognize that that's what makes you you. You get to have the shit too. You don't have to fucking pretend, okay? You don't have to fucking pretend. You get to be your true self. Unapologetically, there are 9 billion people on the face of the fucking planet, even in business, okay? Even in business, you get to be your true self, and especially when you're working in the online world, it's limitless. You have so much fucking opportunity. It's amazing to get to work with people that you're truly aligned with, who get you, who see you, who know the thing that fucking freaks you out that you're scared other people are going to know, and then they accept you and pay you anyways. And there is something that is so fucking liberating about that. But the truth is, you can't get there unless you're willing to tell the truth. And the truth just sounds different, you know? And it's something where, as entrepreneurs, we're scared, right? We're scared of failing, first and foremost. We're scared of fucking success. We're scared if people find out that we're a fraud. Imposter syndrome is fucking huge. Like, seriously, it never fucking ends. But one of the things that you can really help yourself to get to that next level is to tell the hard truth, the one that you don't want people to know. Because once it's out there and you said it, you did it on your own terms, once it's out there like that, you have so much less to be afraid of. You don't have to worry about people finding out about it anymore, which of course frees up mental space, right? When you claim your fucking throne of debauchery, you get to feel relief, right? Because now you don't have to worry about people fucking finding out about it. And there's magic in that. There's power in that. There is self-assurance in that, to know that, like, hey, not everyone's going to be cool with it. Okay. Not everyone's going to be cool. Like, that just is what it is. But the fact of the matter is that all day, every day, there are people out there that motherfucking hate you. The haterade, it's out there. It's real. There are haters and they are going to hate you no matter what. The haters gonna hate. That's how it works. So what does it matter if it's one more fucking person today? Who cares, right? You get to get over that piece. And when you do, that's when you can really start stepping into your true superpower, because you don't have to fucking fake it anymore. You don't have to put the fucking little smile on and pretend to be Susie Q when you're not. Like, you don't have to do that, right? Or vice versa, right? To pretend to be a fucking biker babe when really you just want to stay at home and play with your fucking Barbies. You get to do whatever the fuck you want. Unapologetically, you get to be your true self. And the more true you are to you, the more you attract your ideal clients. And then you get to work with people who don't just fucking accept your shortcomings. They understand them. They relate with them. They resonate with them. They're glad that you have them because it makes them feel less alone in the world. Isn't that worth doing just for that piece all alone? Never mind the fucking money. Isn't it worth it for just that piece? This is when I really turned the corner, is when I stopped fucking pretending. And, you know, it was on ill advice in some context, right? It's like, Nicole, you probably shouldn't cuss like that on your Facebook lives. I still have people that get pretty upset about that. One time I was doing an event and I had a little old lady her name was like Gladys or something, you know, some little old lady name, was like, wow, you really shouldn't use the F word when you're on a business live. It's like, listen, Gladys, honey, I will do whatever the fuck I want. Okay. First of all, don't tell me what to do. But when I started stepping into that thing of like, this is who I really am. And obviously not just with the swearing, but with being really honest about, you know, my past and shit that I've done wrong, shit that I regret, shit that I'm ashamed of, right? Once I started telling my story from my words, not letting somebody else define what my story was or give me labels, like, but me telling the truth, everything started shifting in my business because I became real to them. It wasn't this thing of like, oh yeah, this perfect cookie cutter, pink, white, and taupe, fucking do it the same as everybody else. Like, no, it's like, this is the real honest me. Like, this is what has happened in my life. This is what I'm proud of. This is what I'm not proud of. This is what I stand for. This is what I stand against. Then it was like, people who didn't like me, well, they left the fucking group, and good fucking riddance. I don't like to work with people who don't like me, right? I don't want to do that anymore, ever the fuck again. I only want to work with people who really get my jokes and think it's funny. And if they don't think it's funny, like, that's kind of one of the longstanding jokes in the group, is like, if you don't think I'm funny, like, get the fuck out. This group is not for you. Like, get out. And that's fine. You get to identify that, but that really only comes from being able to tell the truth, which is, of course, so much easier said than done. It's like, oh yeah, I should just tell people my stuff. But then like, you sit down to do it and you're like, holy fuck, there's some stuff. There's some stuff that I don't want to talk about. There's some things that I don't want people to know. But when you do it on your own terms and you let that fucking cat out of the bag, you get to have the moment where you're like, all right, there it is. Take it or leave it. And that is self-assurance. And self-assurance is the place that you sell from. Okay. Everyone wants to talk about fucking confidence. Confidence, confidence, confidence. Keyword confidence. And yeah, I fucking get that. But let me tell you something. Okay. Confidence is a symptom of self-assurance. Okay. It is not the core. It is not the thing that you need. You have confidence because you have self-assurance. Self-assurance is the core thing that really, that's the really the place of true service. That's where you sell from. That's where you feel like and know, you have that knowing feeling that what you're selling is actually helping people. That comes from self-assurance, not confidence. Confidence is built from self-assurance. So if you want to focus on building something up, it's not confidence, okay? Because if you're building confidence without self-assurance, well, I got to tell you, it's fucking fake, all right? So how do we build self-assurance? Well, that's the scary part, right? Is by being ourselves unapologetically and being okay with the outcome. Right, is that some people are not going to like us. Some people are going to leave our group. Some people are going to say, you are not for me. And that is okay. You are not for everyone. You're not. Okay, get it through your head. You are not for everyone. And when you can accept that, then you can start to see who you are for. Because the truth is, if you're going to be for someone, then other people are going to not be for you. Right? And that's okay. It's okay to feel that way, right? And it's okay to feel a little bit scared of that. But when you can get into your story, right? Your true story, and you can practice with the easy ones and kind of ease into it with your content. But when you can get into the truth, the deep, dark, in the fucking closet skeleton in there that you don't want anybody to see, then what else is there to be afraid of? I mean, really think about it. After you tell the worst thing that you've ever done, the thing that you feel the worst about after you say it out loud, what else is there to be scared of? Well, ready for mine? Once upon a time, as all good stories in unicorn land start. Once upon a time, I was married to my best friend from high school. Very good man. We actually, funny story, still are married. Been separated for 7-ish years though. You know, we have our reasons for that. It doesn't matter. So we were married, and you know, we got along. We really did. We got along in a lot of ways. We parented pretty well together. He was much better with the babies than I was. I was pretty depressed after my daughter, which I assume at this point, knowing what I know now, is that I probably had a bit of postpartum depression that was kind of undiagnosed, and I was just kind of suffering. And I wanted to go back to work, and I felt really guilty. I stayed home with my daughter for 6 months, but like I felt really guilty that I wanted to go back because I don't know, like shouldn't a good mom want to like stay home with their kids? Like that was the feeling, right? Is that I was doing a disservice by going back, but I really wanted to. And I felt like I was fucking dying inside and I just wanted to hang out with adults, you know? So I went back to work and I got a job that I really loved, that like I was really excited about. I got to work at a casino here and kind of take over their beverage program and develop a cocktail program that I was really fucking excited about. It was a menuless concept. The other girl that got hired along with me was like a dream to fucking work with. We were a match made in heaven bartender team. You know, summoned by the gods. Like it was fucking perfect. And I was so excited about it and I loved it so much. And I made boatloads of money at the time, you know, for like what I was looking at. Like I was making really good money and for the circumstance. And I loved it. I loved it. I loved being at work. And it first started where like, you know, my husband would wait up for me. I mean, obviously as a bartender, I'm working at night, right? And so I'd get home at like 10:30, 11, sometimes 12, 1 on the weekends. So he used to stay up and wait for me. And you guys, it was 3 days a week, not like every day. It was 3 days a week. And so he used to stay up and wait for me and we'd have dinner together and we'd talk and like whatever. Well, as the time went by and I became more enamored with my job, I mean, I take full responsibility for it. I loved it. I didn't want to be home, you know, because being at work was more exciting. It was more fun. Like it was just more fun. It wasn't laundry and cleaning and, you know, kids pulling on me all the time. It was like people shouting my name and like, yay, Nicole. And like, they were all so happy to see me and big fat tips and just the fun, right? Like bartending is fun. And so I liked being at work. And so it kind of turned into a thing where like, I would come home and I would have this like bartender high. Like if you've ever worked in the service industry, you know what that's like to like have $500 in your pocket and like come home like, yes, right? And so I'd come home and my husband would be asleep. And I would be like, okay. So I like sit there by myself, you know, and like not have anything to do and like be like, ugh, this is awful, right? And up for 2 hours by myself because I couldn't just like unwind and go to bed. Like, do you get off work at 5 and go home and go straight to bed? Of course fucking not, right? So it was hard for me to unwind. And I was having to do it by myself. So it took even longer. So I was staying up all night and it was just not, the pattern was not getting better. So then it started to turn into like, well, I could just stay at work, right? Like I could have a drink with everybody else. Like I, at the time, like I was not drinking at work. I would just go straight home. Like I just didn't do that stuff back then. And then it turned into like, well, I could have like one glass of wine, right? Like I'll have one glass of wine and then I'll go home. Okay. And that's what I did for a while. But then it was like one glass was turning into two, which was turning into four, you know, and 11:30 was turning into 1:30. And it was just getting later and later. And the party scene just like never really stopped. And we were with people that were fun and lively and all of the things. And he just didn't seem to care or notice, right? Like it just didn't make a difference. And I didn't feel like, I don't know, at the time, like looking back, like I didn't realize how slippery the slope was, right? But it was in fact a slippery slope. And then, I can't believe I'm telling you guys this. Then at some point, we hired a new barback. Okay. And this barback was significantly younger than me. And I mean, like a lot, like 8 years younger than me, an embarrassing amount of years younger than me. But we started, you know, it was like he would hang out and we would have the thing and like all of the feelings started coming. Right. And it was like, he was so excited to like know about my life. He was so excited to like know me and like talk to me about real stuff. And like, he was never mad at me for stupid shit. And he was never like nagging at me or like ignoring me. Like he gave me attention. Right. Which of course, looking back, it's hard to admit, right? It's hard to admit that like, really, it was the attention that I was lacking. It wasn't this like big bad wolf story. It was just that I was so basic that I just needed attention. Like, and so I just liked it. I liked the attention. And so this goes on for months, right? I mean, we're probably about 6 months of like really heavy, like into the emotional affair realm, right? Where I'm spending more time with him and texting him all the time and all the stuff and like, you know, we're going on group outings, but really just to cover up the fact that we're spending time together, right? And like all of the pieces coming into play. And of course, I knew what was fucking happening. I was no stranger to cheating. I definitely, you know, cheated a lot in the past in my less, you know, my littler relationships. Never too much of a loyalty person. I don't really trust people very well because I didn't trust myself. So when it got to that point, it was, I mean, it was the most captivating, at the time, it was the most captivating piece of my life. It was so exciting and so thrilling and so like on the edge. And like, I felt alive, like I felt alive. And then when I went home, it was like, the contrast was like, I just felt dead inside. Like I hated being at home. I shouldn't have, right? Like I felt guilty. I felt guilty and ashamed for not wanting to be home. And it just got worse and worse and worse. Well, I'll tell you, when it finally got to the point where we slept together, I think I was caught in about a week because I'm a terrible liar. I have a very guilty conscience. My face shows a lot of my emotion. And I just, at some level, want to get caught. Like that's, and it's funny because that's how my kid is too. Like he just wants to get caught. Like just terrible at fucking lying. Can't get away with shit. And like, that's how I am. Like, I just can't get away with shit. So I was caught very quickly and I was riddled with guilt and I was a fucking train wreck. Like, I mean, seriously, a train wreck, drinking myself retarded, like just overwhelmed with like anxiety, like, and pain. And there were just dissension. There was dissension in the ranks. Like I was upset, you know, and I hated myself for it. You know, it did not end well. Obviously my husband was very mad, very mad, very mad at him, very mad at me. And it was a nightmare. And so, you know, all the things happened and I, you know, it hit the wall, right? Shit hit the wall, like real hard. But I quit my job that I loved. I quit my job that I loved and gave him up, which was really, really hard. And, you know, I spent a lot of time, you know, crying over Taylor Swift songs about it. Give me a break, guys. I was kind of young. But like, you know, it was painful. It was painful because it didn't really end. There was no resolution. And to this day, there's no resolution. You know, it was awful. It was an awful time in my life. And, you know, I cheated on my husband and I had that big, you know, scarlet letter on my chest and like all of the pain that came with that. And he decided to stay with me, which of course, you know, in some contexts made it worse because then I couldn't even like move on or, I don't know, somehow make it feel like it was worth it. It was just something that I did wrong. And then something that was, of course, held over my head, like still to this day. Like, I mean, that's how it works, right? Like you cheat, you get your consequences. And that is definitely one of them. And so we stayed together for a little bit longer, another year and a half or so, before another event happened that had nothing to do with cheating. But you know, we had another kind of catastrophic event happen in our lives that changed everything, as life does, right? Well, he ended up leaving me. He left me for a colleague, somebody that he worked with, ironically enough, right? Full circle and all that. And he had been having an affair with her for about 6 months before he actually left. And then moved in with her right away. They moved in, I don't know, within the 2 weeks or so after he moved out of our house, and I was devastated. And I didn't know about her, which is crazy looking back. I don't know how I didn't know, but I didn't know at all. And I actually found out about her from my daughter, you know, at the time, who was like 5 years old and was like, "Dada's girlfriend." I was like, "Dada's what?" you know, so I didn't know about her and it all came full circle and I certainly got what I fucking asked for, right? Karma and all that. And so naturally I was a fucking train wreck, but you know, life goes on. That's how it works. So it's Thanksgiving. he left in like, I don't know, October-ish, and it's Thanksgiving. So end of November, and I'm just a drunken fucking mess. Like just not having the kids 3 days a week was like so detrimental to my psyche, like because I just had nothing. I had nothing to live for, nothing but the booze to live for. And I was miserable and I had to get a job and I like there were so many things like I had just paid all of our bills and then he left. And so like, I didn't have any money and I like it was fucking tough. And so I just went back to bartending like because that's what I needed to do. And so I got into a bar job, whatever. And so I was at my friend's bar on Thanksgiving Day because I didn't have my fucking kids or my family. There was nothing for me to do on Thanksgiving Day. It was the first time I'd ever spent a holiday alone. And so I was at our neighborhood bar that my buddy owns, and I was a fucking train wreck, just shot after shot after shot, crying in the corner, that fucking girl, a mess. And, you know, the bartender looks at me, who's a friend of mine, and he was like, Nick, like, you gotta get it together. Like, fucking get it together. Like, you're gonna be fine. Like, just go sleep with someone else and everything will be fine. You know, and so drunk and stumbling and one-eyed, I said, I looked down the bar top and I was like, hey, you with the face. You with the face. I was like, let's go to dinner on Saturday, right? So, like, you know, some fucking guy at the bar, like, I mean, I barely remember this, like, you know, some guy at the bar, I gave him my number and whatever. I went home and did the thing. And then on Saturday, this fucking crazy asshole actually calls me. What an idiot, right? What a fucking idiot. And so he's like, well, let's go to this place. Okay, so he sets up like this bar that we're going to go to, which is a bar that I don't want to go to. I know everybody in town, like being the bartender that I am, like I know everybody in town. And I was like, oh God, this place is like way too young of a crowd for me. Like I am not interested, but I'm trying not to be a cunt, right? I'm trying not to be too bitchy and I'm trying to just go along and do the thing. So we show up at that bar and I don't remember what he looks like at all. And so I'm having to like text to see who fucking answers the phone, right? And as I walk in, the bartender, of course, knows me and he slides me my beer and shot choice that I always drink, comes across the bar top to me and is like, hey, Nick, like I heard what happened with your husband. Like here, like I hope you feel better kind of thing. Hugs and high fives. That's what bartenders do. So I drink my beer, take my shot, and then figure out which one of these kids sitting at the bar is mine. And I do say kids because, of course, he was way too fucking young for me and way too nice and way too of like a complete other world. Like, you know, he was like in IT, like, you know, smart kid out of college. He was just home for Thanksgiving visiting his family. He, you know, lived states away. And I was like, all right, well, I mean, at least it's not somebody that I went to high school's little brother, right? It could be fucking worse. So we sat down and he starts trying to drink and keep up, which of course is a terrible idea because my tolerance is fucking through the roof, right? So I'm like, hey, let's go to the restaurant next door and we'll get some food, right? So we go next door and we're chatting and I'm like, I'm starting to feel okay. Like I'm starting to feel the feelings. Like, oh yeah, like I feel it. I feel good. And I'm like starting to forget about everything for a couple minutes. Like it takes your mind off of it, right? Just to have somebody new to talk to and just kind of get lost in the moment. And so he tells me that he has a twin. And I was like, oh, that's funny. You know, I was like, did your parents name you like matchy match names? And he like laughed and he's like, oh no, my sister's name is yada yada, right? So he tells me his sister's name and my face goes just fucking white. And I was like, oh my God. And I go into the bathroom and I'm like panicking, right? And I call my best friend and I'm like, you will never guess who I'm on a fucking date with right now. She's like, who? And I tell her, so-and-so's twin brother. And she goes, fuck. I was like, I know, right? And then she says, karma, and hangs up the fucking phone. I was like, this bitch. Oh, so I have to go back out there, right? I have to go back out there and I pony up another shot of beer. I pay the tab and I was like, look, I'm really sorry. Like, I know that we've had like a good time and like everything's been good, but like, I have to go. Like, I can't do this. Like, you know, now that I know who you are, like, I have to go. Like, I can't do this. So he's like, what? Like, I mean, just like totally like taken aback. Like, what the fuck happened? You know? And I was like, look, you can walk me to my friend's bar. It's just on the street. And like, you know, then you like can catch an Uber from there, like whatever you want to do. But like, I can't hang out with you. this poor guy, right? So we get outside and we walk to the other bar and I tell him what's up. And he's like, So you're that Nicole? And I'm like, yes, I am that Nicole. He's like, oh yeah, this is not a good idea. And I was like, yeah, I fucking know, right? So we walk to the other bar, we get into the other bar, I tell my other friend, who's actually the person that was working with me when I worked at the casino during all of this affair time. She works there and she's like, oh my God, bitch, you've got to be fucking kidding me. I was like, I know, right? So another shot down. If you haven't caught on to this yet of what's going on here, is that I am on a date with the guy that I had an affair with, on my husband, right? The guy I had an affair with, the barback. I am on a date with the barback's girlfriend's twin fucking brother. What are the fucking chances of that? What are the fucking chances of that, right? Oh my God. I was just panicked, just freaking out. So shot after shot after shot, he's still at this bar somewhere, like, and I'm like behind the bar, like hiding, right? And like drunk Nicole takes over. Blackout Nicole takes over. Blackout Nicole decides to call the bar back. Now, I have no fucking clue what Blackout Nicole said to that bar back still to this day. I have no fucking idea. But I do know that it was an 18-minute fucking phone call, in which the time I got so fucking upset on this call that I decided, fuck it, I'm going to revenge fuck the kid. And I grabbed the kid, put him in a fucking Uber, and took him back to my house and fucked him. Whew. Now, as if all of that is not enough. As we're about midway through this little episode on my living room couch, he says to me, Nicole, I have to tell you something. What? What could it possibly be? Like, what more could you possibly tell me at this point? You know what this motherfucker says to me? Well, you're gonna have to wait till the next episode. For more trouble, go to realunicornsdontwearpants.com. Hit that subscribe button and remember, #fuckpants.